How was your wife's trip from California? She came back yesterday, right?
Yeah, she came back very late last night or early this morning. I know because the dogs jumped up and barked like crazy and made it nuts. She was all right. I mean, she made it home safely and all that, enjoyed California, but complaining about, you know, the planes. My wife just does not do well on planes. Doesn't like plane transportation whatsoever. It's the getting in the planes. It's the getting off them. It's all the noises the plane makes. Oh, when the wings come up once you take off. Every bit of it, she believes it's going to fall out of the sky.
Yeah. And she travels by herself. So that's what I find surprising. Because for me, the stress of the plane has nothing to do with the actual like ride. It's getting my children to behave on the plane.
Yeah.
Like Dakota, oh my gosh, I'll never forget. We went to the Bahamas. Remember when she was one and she kept sucking on the airplane seatbelt? Like there is nothing nastier that she could put in her mouth than an airplane seatbelt. And she, every time I took my eyes off her, guess where she went for?
Yeah, here's the thing though. So my wife, for the longest time, wouldn't travel without me. She's done it a couple times now, like you mentioned. But you know, if I'm with her, it's no better for her. She just cries to me. And she literally will hold my hand, and so it's white knuckle, and she's like looking at the floor ready to cry.
See, I'm surprised because I love to fly alone.
I love it.
Yeah, it's so nice. It's like, you mean nobody can reach me for the next few hours,
nothing.
And I can just do whatever I want. I could stare out the window. I could watch a movie. To me, it's like a mini vacation just being on the plane alone.
Yeah, no, I used to really enjoy flying. I mean, it's become more stressful now than when I travel with her, obviously, but it's not of anything that the plane is doing wrong or a problem that I'm having. Although, sometimes, you know, the flight attendants can be a little bit aggressive. They're like, you got a problem? Do you got a problem? I always feel kind of like, they're almost looking for a problem now.
That's because the tone of your voice. That's
okay.
Because you just come off as aggressive. But what would you say is the worst mode of transportation? Like, obviously, Alicia, your wife, believes that it's the plane. But what do you think is like you dread it every time you have to do it?
I would have to say it's got to be buses. So I, you know, doing radio for all these years, for all this time, we've had plenty of events, right, where you're headed off with a group of us. We're going, we're taking the bus, we're going to something. And the way there, it's always the same thing. It's a party. Everybody's talking, having a good time. The way back, it's always the worst of that, right? The people that had too much to drink, people are moaning. One person gets sick, one person uses the bathroom on the bus, Anna. It's all over. That bus is ruined, and it's terrible.
Buses don't bother me all that much. To me, I feel like they're on the same kind of playing field as planes. You know what I really don't like? And it's not even really nice to say it because I know it's a lot of people's livelihoods. I'm afraid of like the Ubers and the Lyfts. And it's not having anything to do with the actual ride. I just feel like you hear all these horror stories.
Right. Well, some of the drivers now.
Well, right. And I just panic. Like every time I have to take an Uber, I feel like I need to let three people know that I'm taking an Uber and let them know like, hey, if I don't arrive by this time,
right.
Like I'm getting into an Uber. My husband, I have to text him. I'm taking an Uber just so you know. And it's ridiculous because, I mean, every single time I've ever gotten into an Uber car, it has been a joyful, lovely experience.
Me too.
You know?
But you're still afraid.
Every time. If I'm by myself, if I got like three of my girlfriends, then I'm like, oh, I'm fine. You know?
You know, at least Jen's got a knife.
What? A new stat came out. 5,800 postal workers attacked by dogs every single year.
There's a lot of packages. The numbers aren't really staggering. Man up, postal workers. Get a little bit tougher, all right? Don't be afraid of a little dog.
You're ridiculous.
On the other hand, I'm not hopping over fences to deliver packages, man. Come on, I'm no hero.
Yeah. Chris is a good friend of ours and an Amazon delivery driver. And you actually train the drivers for Amazon now, too. You ever been attacked by a dog?
Yes, 100%. Unfortunately, I'm very, very familiar.
Chris, I picture the training now somewhat like basic training when you're in the military, right? There's going to be a barbed wire type scenario. You're going to be crawling on your chest at one point in mud and rain.
Deliver now!
Right. And then a dog comes running in also, right? Am I right about that? There's no live fire ammunition, but there are dogs.
No, there is no like police attack dog suit that we have the drivers put on. There is none of that. But Amazon does cover dog behavior and dog bites.
So there's like a session on tourniquets and field dressings in the back of a van.
So like if you're not a dog person, if you're a delivery driver who's never had dogs in their life, they're like, well, when a dog has their ears back and this stance and all that stuff, that means they're feeling threatened. So they covered in great detail.
Wow.
Like it's crazy.
That's amazing.
Oh, I have to get back to that. But first, I have to hear about the time that you were attacked by a dog. What happened?
So I was approaching a person's property with a long driveway. I had two packages in my arms. Everything looked good. Then all of a sudden, a German Shepherd at full race pace comes from the back of this house And I was just like, this is not going to be good. This does not look like fun time coming towards me. I put the package between me and the dog, which is what we learn in the training, to kind of block the dog. Because, you know, your packages are important. We always want to deliver those smiles and make sure you get those packages. But at the same time, my training says that if I'm going to get hurt, that package is my shield. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
Love it.
Well, yeah, that,
it's like
Amazon
a Riot Bear game.
So, like, 100%. But unfortunately, the dog did get a little nip at my stomach. Just broke the skin. Nothing serious. No stitches. But I do have a scar to show for it.
Man, Ring cameras are the best now because you guys let out a squeal when that dog comes around.
Not it's nice, like,
oh,
right?
I mean, yeah. I know, but it'll live forever. You know, you're showing your friends.
And I'm a dog person. I've had it in my life, my entire life.
Right.
And I've always been trusting of dogs, which is, I think, why I ended up getting bit.
You're so used to these huge packages. Of course, that day you probably had the smallest package to deliver.
Yeah, when the Chihuahua attacks, you've got something that's 6 feet tall. But when the German Shepherd comes around, it's one of those envelopes. Oh, no good. No good.
But, like, I called the police department afterwards because my first thought was, I want to know if this dog had it shot.
Sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. And it turned out it did. Everything was fine. Nothing that a couple Band-Aids couldn't fix. But, a little bit of a scary moment there.
I'm sure. As a homeowner, obviously, we would like to get our packages without our dogs attacking you. So what can a homeowner do to help you to prevent things like this happening in the future?
Well, here's just something good to know about Amazon. We have our three C's of customer service, right? Call the customer, call our driver support line, and then you can also, the driver can call their dispatcher for words of advice on the delivery. If we see a dog in your front lawn and maybe the driver is a little nervous about it, first thing they'll do is call you. So if you have a package coming, maybe it's a good idea to look at your phone and be waiting for a phone call. That's if you haven't brought your dog inside. And here's a little fun fact. Whenever Amazon calls you, whenever the driver calls you, it'll be from a 206 area code. Seattle phone number, which is where Amazon's home base is.
That's great to know.
Okay.
So answer the phone for us, please.
Right, because everybody else, you voicemail check anyway. You see an area code you don't recognize.
Totally.
Yeah, Chris, thank you so much for filling us in and touching base this morning.
100%. Have a great day, guys.
Stay safe out there, buddy. And where's my flip-flops? I expect them this afternoon.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You could always call or text 1-800-330-9999. Raven, it is National Kissing Day. So here, oh my God.
You knew I was going to do it. You knew it.
I hate you so much. That's my number one pet peeve. So here are all my mouth-related all I needs. Ready?
Okay, go ahead.
Up first, if you give wet kisses on the cheek, that's all I need to know about you.
It is gross.
It skeeves me out more than anything. If you're chewing gum and I can see the gum, that's all I need to know about you. You know, like when people play with it with their tongue? And, oh, it's so yucky.
As long as there's not a piece of toast in there, I can live with that sometimes.
And the number one all I need is what Raven did. If you make that kissy sound whenever there's a girl around, that is definitely all I need to know about you. I don't know why it skeeves me out.
Why does it have to be when a girl's around?
I don't know. It
seems
just
sexist.
It seems wildly inappropriate. It's skeevy. It's all I need to know about you.
When three people confer over your nails during a pedicure, but they're all doing it in a different language, that's all I need to know about you.
Your toe's so nasty.
Went to a new place.
Backup.
Went to a new place this past weekend, and you know, going with the wife. You know, I love a mani pedi. I don't care. I'll say it right out loud as a guy.
Yeah.
And it had been a while, obviously, and it was the first place, and you know, they don't. Some of them speak English and some don't. And three of them had a conference over my toenails before proceeding.
Imagine
how one of them went to the other room to get another tool and brought it back.
Was that tool a chainsaw by any chance?
No, it's one of those electric boxes, you know, with the charger attached, the grinder there. But, you know, I mean, I told him from the get-go that she was going to need it. She just didn't understand it when I said it.
My husband had really nasty looking feet the other day. And I said, you know, Raven goes for pedicures. I go, maybe can come with me, right?
Yeah.
And he looked at me, he goes, what kind of man gets a pedicure? And I was like, babe, relax, you know?
Those that don't want to roll off the couch trying to clip their own nails. I mean, those that are not professionals, right? You have a mechanic work on your car. Same thing for your toes.
1-800-330-9999. Just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. It's a nationwide initiative, and we are so excited about it. It's the first ever Anna and Raven Adopt and Rescue, and it's all happening at Little Shelter in Huntington this Sunday. David Seeley, David, you're kind of the mastermind, and really, the amount of good work you do for pet adoption is incredible, and we are so excited to team up with you for our first event.
Thank you so much for working with us on this. We're very lucky to be able to do what we do.
David, you guys at Little Shelter have a unique situation, right? You've got multiple locations. You've got a sanctuary arm of the shelter, too. Let's just talk a little bit about the history of Little Shelter and what you guys do.
So Little Shelter is actually Suffolk County's first humane society. This past April was our 94th anniversary. So we're closing in on 100 years. What we do is we go out and we help the overcrowded shelters on Long Island and, you know, across the nation, and pull them to Little Shelter, which is a no-kill shelter. So they get to be with us until we find them their forever homes. But in animal rescue, oftentimes you're either an animal rescue and a shelter or a sanctuary, and Little Shelter is both. Our sanctuary is 110 acres, and it's in upstate New York. And that's for our animals that are overlooked for either behavioral or medical concerns. You know, because as pretty as Little Shelter is, we've got 6 acres of property. If they're here too long, they'll develop problems.
Mm-hmm.
So they get to live out their life up there. There's no more chain link. They've got their own rooms. They will have television, couches, pictures on the walls, you name it. So it's a very different, very unique operation that we run here.
How do you feel about allowing a human retirement arm of that?
Because, exactly.
I mean, because you don't just actually rescue animals, too. I mean, that's the other part about Little Shelter. I mean, the story is even deeper than that, if you can imagine. So you also do quite a bit to help people in the community around there, too. Let's talk about those programs.
Yeah, sure. So we've got several initiatives that go out into the community, into the schools that helps the children that have issues developing their social skills. And what they'll do is they'll read to the dogs, and we've seen their personalities blossom. Another program, it's called the Animal Soup Kitchen. When people fall on hard times and can't afford the basics, we don't want them to turn their animals into shelters. So we provide that to them free of cost.
So your organization is obviously fantastic, and what you do to help animals is incredible. But this event that's going on this weekend that we're inviting the community to come to, this is a huge adoption event. There's going to be pets available for adoption this Sunday from 12 to 5. Raven and I will be there as well. What kind of animals can we expect to be, you know, looking for a home?
You're going to be able to see kittens, puppies, adult dogs, teenage dogs, anything from chihuahuas to chows. We're going to have something for everybody at this event.
Oh, that is so exciting.
So exciting. Yeah.
How do I not leave with 36 dogs?
I was just going to say, 100 dogs. I was going to have 6 of them. Just, I just want them jumping all over my face.
You know, David, when we talk about Clear the Shelter events, I mean, obviously the shelter is never clear when it's something, you know, that large, the work you're doing. But it doesn't mean that every little bit doesn't help and doesn't count. So even people that are not, you know, looking for a pet right now or not able to get a pet where they live or for whatever reasons possible, there's plenty that they can do and plenty that they can enjoy with the event coming up this weekend.
At the event specifically, we're going to have lots of raffle prizes. Someone's going to win $25,000 or a brand new Mercedes.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Which is super exciting. It's one of my favorite parts of my job. But we find something for everybody to help us out with.
As an animal lover, I'm a sucker for a good puppy photo. So, yeah. I mean, there'll be plenty of those things for you to check out and plenty of ways that you can help, too. The reach is extensive.
Littleshelter.org to read more about them. And otherwise, we'll see you this Sunday.
It's Anna and Raven's Adopt and Rescue.
Thank you so much, David. We can't wait to hang out with you this weekend.
No, thank you guys. I'm really looking forward to seeing you.
Top thing you're supposed to buy today for Amazon Prime Day, an air fryer. Number one thing you're not supposed to buy, an Instapot. Explain to me the logic behind that.
Aren't they like cousins?
I think so.
Aren't they like, they like made in a hallway right across from each other, I'm guessing.
But the, us average people, the two of us, like, okay, we think of that. We're like, the Instapot and the air fryer are definitely kind of exactly the same thing.
Yeah, they're like related.
But what I've learned from my friends is either you're a pro air fryer or pro Instapot and you hate the other team with a vengeance.
Seems silly, but
right.
All right. I mean, I guess on the one hand, it seems silly to me. On the other hand, I guess it makes sense because we have an air fryer. We have an Instapot we received as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
It's still in the box. And
right,
from what I gather,
yeah,
it's a pretty nice one, and it's been in the box for like 2 years,
yeah,
actually.
See? Guess she's a sign.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very strange. What was the last thing you bought on Amazon? Did you take advantage of any of the quote-unquote fake deals that are going on right now?
I'll open up my page right now here.
Go to your orders.
Sanuk Beer Cozy Black size 11 slippers. Sandals, the guy's sandals that are made, they're like foamy. Okay. You get older, you got to have a little bit more foam and cushion. These are the best ones. Didn't get it on Prime Day, though. That was like last week. I needed them.
All right.
I was so busy over the weekend. I didn't get to Prime Day yesterday. What did you order for Prime Day?
So here's the thing, and I've always believed this. Prime Day seems like a sham to me. I woke up this morning, decided that I needed a jewelry cleaner because that's literally what goes into my
mind.
Gotta
have it.
3:30 in the morning. I go, oh my gosh, it's like today's the second day of Prime Day. It's the last day. Let me see. So I go.
What took you so long?
Yeah, well, because it, you know, it didn't cross my mind until 3:30 when I woke up.
Of course.
So I go on. I'm thinking like they're basically going to be giving away jewelry cleaners because it's Prime Day.
Of course.
No, my savings on the one that I bought, which was like $22.99, was 5%. 5%? That's not really a deal. I feel like when Bed Bath & Beyond gives you a coupon for 20% and they give them to you all the time free in the thing, I'm like, I probably could have gotten a better deal there.
I feel like I've done big shopping on Prime before, but you got to buy stuff that Amazon like owns, like Ring cameras or stuff like that. You can save a bunch.
So I went to my Facebook page, as I also do early in the morning, and I got really excited because they were targeting me for marketing, right? So they were suggesting things that I buy today on Prime Day.
What did they give you?
Well, that's what I thought. I was all excited, thinking it would be things I was really into.
Yeah.
Number one on the list of targeted things on my Facebook page to buy on Amazon Prime Day, a yodeling pickle. So this is an actual pickle that when you push the button, it goes like this.
I mean, I love the singing fish on a wall when you find it like in your grandpa's, you know, room or something like that. But other than that, okay.
Knowing me well, do you think I'd buy a yodeling pickle?
No.
No.
No. Your daughter, yes. Mm-hmm. Not you.
How much do you think it cost?
$12. $12.53.
$13.99. Only a 7% savings.
I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good.
Second thing, it targeted me. Alma Gourmet Fresh Italian Black Summer Truffles. Truffles. It looks like a big rock. Truffles. I don't even know what to do with truffles. That's, I feel like you just get at fancy restaurants. Guess how much the truffles were?
I have no idea. I don't have any truffle money. I don't understand.
You need a lot of truffle money. They're $79.95.
Wow.
And there's only two left in stock. Zero savings.
Oh, you got to hurry up.
Yep. And the last thing that it targeted me for that I was all excited for, Crazy Cat Lady action figure. I don't even own a cat. Never owned a cat in my life. But do I really need the Crazy Cat Lady action figure? It's not even in stock anymore. $23.99, no sale whatsoever.
I mean, there are people that are just devoting their entire day to shopping today right now, making sure that they're drinking their electrolytes. Good luck.
I was like, what is wrong with my baby? And then I Googled it, and it turns out she's completely normal. Thank goodness.
What's that?
She gets obsessed. Dakota is my 2.5-year-old, and she is a terrible twos is all the way. She gives me a run for my money. But she becomes so fixated on things, and I'm like, why does she become so obsessed? Like, she can't just like something. She has to become consumed by it, right?
Okay, right.
You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. What is your child obsessed with? Turns out toddler obsessions is a real thing. It has to do with the fact that because their world is ever changing, like, you know, getting rid of naps and moving to a big girl bed or starting preschool, like all the big changes in their life, they become fixated on things and it helps them deal with it because it becomes a constant in their lives.
All right, they hold on to it.
Yeah.
Now, I understand.
Dakota has had quite a roster of things that she's been obsessed with.
Yep.
Rocks. If you ever look in my purse, you may wonder why I have so many rocks. Everywhere we go, if she spots a rock, oh, mommy, rock. And she'll pick up the rock.
Mm-hmm.
And then she'll hand it to me. And she'll be like, keep it. And then she'll ask me for that rock like 6 weeks later. She'll be like, mommy, rock. And she'll remember which rocks. And, you know, every once in a while I try to empty out my purse.
Little
geologist
you got in the making there, right? Little archaeologist.
But the newest one right now, and this one, not as entertaining.
Yeah.
Band-Aids. Here, listen to this.
I got out here.
She's constantly telling me she has an ouchie.
Okay.
And that she needs a Band-Aid.
But she's not actually injured?
No. So she scratches herself so that I will put a Band-Aid on her. So I told her, Dakota, stop it. Mommy will just give you Band-Aids.
Right.
And, you know, so, but no, she thinks that you need an ouchie to get a Band-Aid. So even now when she falls and scrapes her knee, she doesn't get upset. She just jumps up joyfully. Mommy, mommy.
Band-Aid.
I got an ouchie. I need a Band-Aid. She's obsessed with Band-Aids. And all I kept thinking about is that people are probably wondering why my child is completely covered in Band-Aids at this point.
Right. Seems odd.
Oh, my gosh.
Right.
What is your kid obsessed with? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, it's Anna and Raven.
Oh, my goodness. He's 22, and he's still crazy about video games. He came home after college, and he had the job. He paid some rent, but he's got this expensive chair, headsets, all sorts of like video game stuff, and he's always in the basement with it blasting.
Hmm.
And then there's my daughter. She's 15, and I cannot get her off TikTok.
Well, TikTok I can relate to. Right. That's a different one.
You love TikTok? You're on there all the time, too?
No, not me. Daughter, Hayden. She's on it a lot. Actually, my best friend, Danielle, and my dad, both TikTok obsessed.
Wow.
It spans many generations, and I don't really quite get it. Yeah.
Wow.
I know. I think it could be, my father may have been the one who introduced her to it, but.
You know, when I was playing games back in the day, Anna, I wanted one of those video game chairs, you know what I mean? But I figured that I couldn't because I would be a dork if I got one. And nowadays, those chairs are cool.
Everybody has those chairs.
Now they're like really cool. Like, you know, the stereo speakers are built into it. Some of them vibrate. Come on.
Yeah, my brother is a grown man, father of three, and he still has his video game chair that the kids are, for the record, not allowed to sit in.
Wow.
I got ouchie on my beanie.
That's my 2.5-year-old Dakota saying, I got ouchie, I need Band-Aid.
Mm.
So half the time, she doesn't even have an ouchie. She really doesn't. She is making up that she has an ouchie, a scratch, because she's obsessed with Band-Aids right now. It's her new obsession.
That's the thing. They shouldn't have made them in neon colors or with your favorite characters on them.
Yeah.
They're pretty awesome nowadays.
It's true. I go, why can't we just have stickers? No Band-Aid! Like, all right.
Band-Aids are pricey, man.
I Googled it because I thought there was something wrong with her. I go, why does she get so obsessed with these things? Turns out toddler obsession is a real thing. It's actually very common. It gives them control. What is your kid obsessed with? 1-800-330-9999. And on Raven.
Hi. So I have a 3-year-old. Well, she turns 3 tomorrow, and she, like her mom, is obsessed with accessories. So, like, sunglasses, shoes, she'll sleep in them. And, like, the sunglasses, she will take them off your head. And if she doesn't like them, she'll break them. So that's how you know if, like, they're cool or not.
Oh, my gosh. I have to tell you what happened over the weekend because I'm so upset about it. I always keep my good sunglasses far away from her because, you know, like, sunglasses and toddlers is the worst combination. I don't know how she got them, but she took my Ray-Bans, she put them under her foot, and then she scraped them along the tile in the kitchen. And she go, Mommy, look! Mommy, look.
Right, skateboard.
I go, why would you do that?
Right.
What would possess you to take mommy's sunglasses, put them under your feet, and scrape them along the tile?
Zero cares.
No.
Zero cares whatsoever. She's like, oh, it's fun.
Right, exactly.
That's the beginning of, like, watch this.
Yeah. Mommy, watch this. I get a lot of that. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your child obsessed with?
So my daughter will be 2 in August, and my mom bought her a fleece blanket when she was born. And to this day, if you even touch her blanket, she will scream, she'll hit you, she'll try to bite you. She'll go nuts for this blanket for some reason. She's almost like a puppy. Anywhere you put that blanket, she knows that's where she's going to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, are the corners all chewed up? I have one that, like, she eats it. She eats that blanket. I told her one day she's going to wake up and it's going to be gone because she ate the whole thing.
She will chew on the edge of it she'll take the tip and she'll rub like her leg with it and to fall asleep. It's so weird.
It is so weird. They're so weird. Toddlers are so weird. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your kid obsessed with?
Rubik's Cube. And not just like the regular Rubik's Cube, but he's got the triangle ones, the, you know, 8-squared, 12-squared. It's pretty amazing to watch because he can do a regular Rubik's Cube under 14 seconds.
Wow.
But it's like all you hear is tick, 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 tick. He can do them blindfolded, one-handed, but that's all I hear in my house. Tick, 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 tick.
It's amazing. He's one of those ones that they can solve it like super quick. And you just say to yourself, I hope they use their powers for good instead of evil, because you don't know what could happen one way or the other, right? Like, you don't know what could happen.
Because I can't, once the Rubik's Cube is really screwed up, I'm probably never solving it.
No.
And I consider myself to be a pretty smart guy.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe I need a new Rubik's Cube now as an adult, Anna, so I can really, like, test myself.
No, I played with one recently. It just made me feel very dumb.
Still difficult?
Yeah, but my nephew, a lot like your son's, 10 years old, he could do it with his eyes closed. I just think that you have to have a certain kind of brain, I don't know, gift to be able to do that.
I guess.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call.
Supposedly algorithm, so it's kind of funny. It's all math. I don't get it.
No, that's probably why I don't get it either.
Wow.
My toddler, Dakota, she's 2.5. She's obsessed with Band-Aids. Here she is.
I got ouchies. I need beanies.
Yeah, and her little toddler voice. She's got ouchies. She needs Band-Aids. She's constantly scratching herself so that she has to put Band-Aids on, which I told her, just don't stop scratching yourself, Mama. I'll just put the Band-Aid on you.
I'll just give it to you.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you can just have it.
You don't have to scratch yourself till you bleed. Please stop doing that. You know?
Right.
I Googled it because I thought, like, what was wrong with her? It turns out it's really normal. It's called toddler obsession. They have little control, so they like to have control, and that's why they become so obsessed.
Okay.
On our Facebook page, Brian wrote, is toddlers obsessed with dinosaurs?
Who isn't?
Dakota went through a whole period. Actually, she's still in that period, obsessed with dinosaurs, too. She couldn't say mama until she was almost 2 years old. Without a second hesitation, she could say Angliosaurus. Like, it's nothing. Angliosaurus, mama.
You should teach her Spielberg. Maybe she knows that one.
What is your child obsessed with? 1-800-330-9999. Anna and Raven.
Drums. All day, and he can't even say drum yet. He just says boom. He'll walk up to any object, anywhere he's near, and he just starts hitting and yelling boom. Boom, 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 boom.
Nice. All right, it's worked out pretty good for Travis Barker. It's tough. Yeah. You know, that's the thing, too, is you don't know right now if he's actually some sort of musical savant, like if he's going to have some sort of future with, you know, instrumentation, or if he's just like, you know, I want to destroy everything around me and I love making noise.
Hey, it's Anna and Raven. What's your kid obsessed with?
My kid is obsessed with bubble guppies. I literally can't get him to stand still or pay attention to me or at all, like nothing at all. But the moment I turn on bubble guppies, everything stops. And she fixates on that show. Like, I can't stand it, personally speaking, but in some ways, you know, they're like my savior because she just, you know,
what are the bubble
so
guppies? What do they do, Anna?
They're fishies.
They're fishies?
It's like an under the water kind of like fishy kind of show.
I get it. And they got kids with different personalities and stuff like that as the fishies.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I get it. You know, kids' shows have changed a lot over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when I'm walking by and I see one, you know, I don't understand it at all.
It's not really hard to understand. They're fish. They swim around and they do kid stuff.
It all began, though, decades back with the Teletubbies. Like, I mean, I still don't get them.
No, nobody understands the Teletubbies.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't just me.
No. It's not just
you. Oh, okay. But we were happy to let them watch our kids for a couple hours every afternoon.
Yeah, we're like, that's cool.
Yeah, raise them. Raise my kids for me. Great. Oh,
the Teletubbies, that's what you're called? Awesome. Here's my child.
Right. And Ann Raven, what's that thing that your kids are obsessed with?
Well, my daughter was obsessed with a baby doll that we gave her when she was born, this little pink baby doll, and she carried it everywhere to the point where she would not be alone without it. And even when we washed it, she went crazy to the point where we had to sit and look at it and wait for it to be washed and dried.
Yeah.
And when it got all ratty, my mom had to, she actually cut up my dad's underwear, his, like, boxer shorts.
Of course.
And, like, sew, like, pieces of my dad's underwear on the head to keep it intact. And
why did he use underwear?
Well, anything that my mom could find.
I mean, what about Joanne Fabrics or Michaels?
All she could find was dad's underwear.
All she could find was dad's drawers? Like, what's up with that?
Seriously, but my poor father, he was like, seriously? But
he was like, I need my underwear.
Whatever she wanted, we did. And my daughter's going to be 30 years old, and she still has this doll in a treasure box.
Yeah, and your dad's commando right now as we speak. He's not wearing any drawers. Thank you for the call. Have a great morning.
Did you ever walk out of a business because it was just so bad you couldn't take it anymore? 1-800-330-9999. Where did you walk out of? Raven, I have never ever done this, And this weekend, I was so tempted, and I'm such a wimp that I didn't do it. I went to this restaurant.
So it's the thought that you had, but you didn't actually do it.
Oh, my God. We had a full conversation about it. So there's this restaurant that we really like that's near our home, and it's on the water, right? Mm-hmm. And it was a beautiful day, so we wanted to be able to see the boats. So we take the girls, and we go, and you know, we walk in, and this is our first time going there this season.
Sure.
So we ask if we can sit, you know, close with the view of the water.
Yeah, give me a nice table. Right. Sure, we're here all the time. Why wouldn't you ask?
Well, we're
that?
Not there all the time. So, okay. And it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon and the place is half empty because we go eat dinner at 4 o'clock because we're those people with the kids.
So it shouldn't be a problem, right? Even at this fancy place on the water.
They say no. They say that they're reserved and that we can't have the table by the water. Okay, I get it. I'm a restaurant kid. I grew up in restaurants. My parents own restaurants. If they're reserved and they can't flip it in an hour, sure, whatever.
There was more than one?
Oh, there was tons of tables, but I get it. So now we're sitting all the way in, not next to the water, and it's okay, right? We open the menu, and the whole menu has changed. Now, I also understand that we're in post-COVID times, and the restaurants went through a lot, and they have to jack up their prices. But they jacked up their prices, and they made the menu half the size and got rid of the kids' menu.
Wow.
So now, I would have to, it's for like a dish of pasta with butter, no joke, they want $22. $22 for pasta with butter for the kids.
Wow.
So I'm like, okay. Then we order the drinks. And they bring $14 drinks in plastic cups.
Now, what?
Not even like red Solo cups, which to me are the classiest of the plastic cups.
I mean, at least you feel like you're getting a lot. You're right. Getting a good amount of ounces. It takes you back to your college days. You remember when you were younger and hotter.
These are the ones that your grandma had at the house when you would rinse out your mouth after you brushed your teeth in the bathroom.
They're like 4 to 6 ounces.
They're small.
Those are the saddest cups
ever. The saddest
ever.
Plastic cups.
Right.
$14. So we're looking at the menu. We order the apps. We get these little tiny drinks. And my husband looks at me. He goes, let's go. And I go, we can't go. We can't go.
Oh, no. He wanted to get up and leave.
He wanted to get up and leave.
And walk away.
Walk out of the restaurant.
Yeah, that's different than just walking out. But okay.
He was like, let's just pay for the drinks. And he's like,
okay.
Yeah. And
well, if he's willing to pay for the drinks, then fine.
He's like, well, let's not get the food because we see the food going to the other tables and it doesn't look great.
Sure.
And he's it's expensive. And he's like, let's just get up. Like, we'll go to our favorite Mexican place, right? Because he knew that if he said my favorite Mexican place,
triggered
I'd be like,
you.
I don't know what my problem is, but I felt so uncomfortable doing that. That I couldn't do it.
Oh, I feel like you should have done it in that instance.
No.
Yes.
I felt like the girls were sitting down at this point. Now I got to lug them back, put
them
back in the car
seat. Now we got to make them stand back up.
All right. we got to drive down the street.
I mean,
we're
all
hungry.
Things you were going to do anyway.
Have you ever walked out of a place before? Any place, not just a restaurant.
You know what? I mean, I'm sure I've walked out of a place because I haven't been able to get a drink in forever. Like if you go to a bar and you just can't get somebody's attention forever, that drives me nuts. I had a similar situation this past week when I went with the kid. The kid wanted to get his jet ski. We went throwing $15,000 at this guy, the sales guy, throwing it at him to get these things. And he couldn't even act like he was interested.
Mm.
I wanted to leave so bad. I wanted furthermore to tell him what I thought about the situation before I left. But I couldn't do that because they had us hostage. They had the item that my kid wanted. So I had to stay there. If it had been so simple as making him stand up, then I probably would have said, let's go.
First of all, I can't believe you spend that much money on a jet ski.
That's
what we're
getting right now.
Two very different trains of thought. Did you ever walk out of somewhere? Where were you? What were you doing? You just got so fed up and you walked out. 1-800-330-9999. My husband begged me to walk out of a restaurant this past weekend because the service was so bad and the food looked terrible and it was so expensive. And I couldn't do it. I feel like once my bottom hits the chair, I'm like somehow legally obligated to stay there,
you
be dissatisfied with my meal, and then pay the check and leave. What is wrong with me?
It's terrible.
Right?
Terrible way to be a consumer.
Hi, it's Anna Raven. When did you actually walk out of a place?
My husband has 4 kids. It was date night. We never get out. So we made reservations to Texas Roadhouse. And we get there. It's still like a 30-minute wait. We get seated. It's another 15 minutes. So we got our order placed. We get our food, and it's completely cold.
Oh.
And we were just over it at that point. We were just like, we're leaving. We didn't eat the food, and we just left.
Yeah. See, that's what I have. I wish I had the guts to do that. But I can't. I feel so guilty. I feel like I'm going to get arrested or something.
Even cold, though. The steak and shrimp at Texas Roadhouse, it's coming with me. I'm putting it in a napkin and it's coming with me. If I waited all that time for it, even if it's cold, I'm not a dine and dasher, Anna. But I'm leaving with that ribeye. It's coming with me.
If it's cold, though, I've never eaten there.
I don't even care.
I don't know.
It's like jerky with salt on it. I love it.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Where did you walk out?
It was a place called like Empanadas on a main street. And I walked out even after I put the order for the food in. Newer restaurant, ordered the salmon. You know, 10, 20 minutes go by. And then she comes back, the bartender. And she's like, oh, they forgot to put it in. We're going to start it right now. I just put a timer on my phone because I get very agitated and I need to like make sure I'm kind of giving them the benefit. And I just count down 10 minutes and if it didn't show up, and it never showed. So I slinked out when, you know, I pretended I had a phone call to get. And I don't know if the salmon ever actually hit the bar, but I left.
Here's the thing. The salmon was already dead. So it didn't matter. If the salmon was in the back, it was already dead. So somebody ate that salmon.
They didn't even have margaritas. You know,
no, that sounds fake then. You were in a time warp or some sort of place. And no place, self-respecting place called Empanadas is going to have no margaritas.
That's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
No, that is ridiculous. Thank you, sir.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. When did you walk out of somewhere?
I actually recently walked out of my son's Boy Scout ceremony. He was receiving an award, and the next kid up is just a neighborhood kid that I cannot stand. I can't stand him, and I can't stand his parents, and he's mean to my son. So we just got up and walked out.
That's not very responsible or nice.
I mean, it's not grown up, but I really do applaud your bravery for coming out here and saying what you think. You're bold. You're courageous, and everybody knows that there's a kid in the neighborhood that you kind of hate, even though you're an adult, and you know you're not supposed to. There's one.
But I mean, there's one thing not to applaud or just to sit there quietly. It's another thing to make a scene and to walk out when the other child is, you know, getting their reward.
Well, you just move quickly, briskly. Mm-hmm. Did you move briskly?
Okay.
Of course.
Yeah. See?
All right.
Jimmy could have had a doctor's appointment. They don't know.
Did you ever walk out of a place because it was so... Well, terrible.
Whatever. Right.
Yeah, terrible. My husband was so mad at me over the weekend because he wanted to walk out of a restaurant and I wouldn't let him. I feel like such a punk. Like, I felt like I had to stay. When did you walk out of a place? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
I walked out of a car dealership. You know, it bothers me that there are so few women car salespersons. When I was shopping for a new car, I would walk into a dealership and ask them for a saleswoman. And when they said they didn't have one, I walked right out.
Huh. Oh, good for you. And you're right. That's a very good point.
I bought my car from a female, and
good for you.
And she knew exactly what to say. And you know what? I applauded her for it. Mm. I was like, they targeted towards me. They sent her right over to me, and I bought a car from her.
It worked out. Good morning, Anna and Raven. When did you walk out of something?
It was an Olive Garden, and they had their restrooms by the front door, which I haven't seen in a long time. When we walked through the doors, right before we could get to the hostess stand, the overwhelming smell of someone who had
right okay.
Even just talking about it
and I said, why would they put the front, you know, restaurants have the bathrooms in the rear, you know, for a reason.
Sure.
And we looked at each other and the hostess is like, I can't smell anything
because she's become accustomed to it.
Right.
Yeah. You are nose dead.
Yeah. Right that
and
poor girl
we had to walk out.
That poor girl probably needs some sort of body scan on her sinuses.
I never lose my appetite, though. Even if I'm grossed out, I still find the courage to eat. I'm like, yeah.
It's the one that you're the bravest at it. It's the most courageous you ever are.
It's true. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. When did you walk out of a place?
I walked out of a movie one time, not because of the movie or anything like that, but it was actually the people around me. I mean, they were coughing and sneezing, and I didn't know if I was going to catch something. It's like I went to the manager, and they said they couldn't do anything about it. So I said, well, that's it. You know, I want my money back. I'm out.
Huh.
I get it. If people were all around me and you feel like they're snotty, like like, you know, if boogers are flying, Anna, I don't want to be there. I mean, when do you find yourself in a situation ever where you're that surrounded by enough of it? Like a plane, if somebody starts sneezing next to you on the plane, I mean, is there anything worse than somebody that starts having a coughing or a sneezing fit next to you on the plane?
The person that doesn't stop talking to you. I would almost rather have the sneezer than the person that just keeps engaging in conversation for 6 hours while you're flying across the country.
I mean, they're both not good.
Yeah. You ever walk out of a movie before, Raven?
I have walked out of a movie before. Gosh, I have to. I mean, it's amazing.
I've seen a million movies, and you can't really recall the ones that you have, but it's only been once or twice in my life.
I have never walked out of a movie because I feel like I paid and I'm going to stay here and watch it to the end. I've fallen asleep in movies several times.
Yeah.
At that point,
That's happened to me too. Right.
Yeah, like if I don't like the movie, instead of walking out, I'll be like, you know what? It's nap time. Put my head down and sleep.
The seats are so good now. Now they get those recline ones.
It's great.
It's really not fair.
Yeah.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us and let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Luke and Annie. Annie, let's start with you. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I trust Luke, and I mean, I love him. He's my guy, but I was going to get a hammer out of his toolbox to hang a picture, and I found an envelope with $3,000 cash money. I was like, what the heck? And so I approached him about it, and he was like, oh, that's my emergency fund. I knew nothing about this. It's shady. We're supposed to be a team working to pay bills and savings together. And he's doing this. It's very shady and secretive. And I don't trust him.
Are you guys are married though, right?
Yeah.
All right, Luke. So, I mean, is this a fantasy football fund? Is this
$3,000?
Oh, yeah. You're holding it for the pot. Or...
Yeah, unfortunately, my fantasy playoff team isn't that okay, rich.
So that's not the answer then. So then what is this? Is this your fantasy island escape fund then?
Escape your family fund?
No. It's none of those things. It's my own little personal emergency blanket in case I need to buy something. Even in an emergency, I just want something for myself. It's really not that big a deal. I shouldn't have hid it in the toolbox as a dumb place to hide something. I think about it, I should have hid it someplace else.
What? But that doesn't make
somewhere
it better.
Somewhere better.
But that doesn't make sense. Clearly, your wife is upset that you have this money separate. Would you be upset if you found out that she had hidden $3,000, let's say, in her makeup bag?
No, I wouldn't be. I would assume that she probably had some money set aside. I don't know. I mean, I don't spend as much money on myself as she does, so I don't think it's really that big of a deal.
You know, Luke, I thought you were going to say that this is like, you know, a prepper thing, right? Like having some cash somewhere on hand, Anna, would make sense, right? The same way they tell you to have water, mm-hmm. the same way they tell you to have medication and stuff. Cash is key, obviously, because when the zombie apocalypse comes, your ATM card ain't going to mean nothing. But you didn't go that route. You just said this is for you to buy something if you feel like it.
Well, I'm not like one of those paranoid guys that has like tons of jars of peanut butter in his basement. I'm just the guy that, hey, maybe my friends want to go on a ski trip and I'm not prepared.
And I'm not bringing my wife.
I want to buy a winch from my truck. Like, nobody else is going to be buying those.
But you share. Hold on. Let me ask a couple questions. Do you share all your finances down the middle?
Pretty much.
So you did this knowing full well that your wife did not know this money existed.
Yeah, but it's not like our bills aren't getting paid.
I would be upset. I would be upset if I found this out. But then again, I also wouldn't put it past my husband because he probably would do it to protect me because he figures that one day I'm going to spend all our money and he needs some kind of emergency fund.
Annie, do you discuss all purchases on your shared credit cards and individual credit cards when you make them?
Yes. I mean, and he's trying to paint me as like a shopaholic. I'm not a shopaholic. I mean, I buy stuff from time to time, but it's nothing extravagant. I'm 100% like full disclosure. Mm-hmm. He has all passwords and usernames, you know, any of my banking stuff. And I'm just, if you wanted to have the $3,000, how about put it in an account? Like, what are you hiding money for? Mm. It's just, what do you have, a drug habit or something? What is this, your stripper fund? This is just weird.
Wow, that's a big jump.
That took a big turn.
Was it right for Luke to hide the money in his emergency slush fund, or was it something that he should have told you? 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
What would you do if you found out your husband had $3,000 hidden in the house from you, like a rainy day fund, but really only for him? Because that's exactly what happened with Luke and Annie. Annie found this cash, and he's like, yeah, so what? I keep it for emergencies, for myself.
Yeah, I think that's where Luke really shot himself in the foot, right? Where he said, like, you know, I keep it in case I need something or I want something or something like that. I mean, if he had just said, I keep it because you never know when something's going to come up, he would have been in better shape there. I don't think it has to be like, I'm hiding this from you. Whether you put your money in the bank or you put it in your safe or whatever, I mean, you're married. So it's basically going to the same slush fund, but he screwed up with his mouth.
And Annie is not happy about it. She's like, if we share all our finances, you can't just have thousands of dollars hidden in a toolbox from me. Whose side are you on, though? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
I'm on his side. I am a woman, and I
have my own emergency fund, and my husband doesn't know about it, and that's just too bad. I'm sure he has his.
Mine fluctuates right now. I mean, so I had 25 in there last week, Anna. I took 15 out and took it over, and when I co-signed for the kids' jet ski, put that in as the down payment. Right now, there's like 800 or so. I spent a little this weekend, so there's like 800 in there right now, but I think a little bit of cash is important.
Am I the only one that doesn't have any money hidden anywhere?
You need better secrets. You need better secrets.
I think I just need better spending habits. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's Couples Court. Annie went into Luke's toolbox and found $3,000 in there. She was just looking for a hammer. She found a whole ton of cash. She approached him about it, and her husband told her, yeah, that's my emergency fund in case I want something special for myself, and she is not happy about it.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with having an emergency fund. She just feels like this was a secret, so what type of emergencies do you really need to prepare for right here? You know what I ask it is, who needs a screwdriver? We're really buying that story? Come on, Annie.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's Couples Court.
Hi, good morning. Honestly, I just feel like they should just divide it equally and just kind of try and make it as special as possible for her. They're all adults. Traveling is expensive.
Yeah, I mean, if he just left it in the safe, inevitably it's there for all of them should something bad happen anyways. I mean, when we find found money, we don't immediately need to divvy it up and spend it. That would be my thought process on it. Just because she didn't have a hand in putting it there doesn't mean we need to immediately spend this money.
It is questionable, though, that he says, though, that he's going to hold on to it for something if he needs it.
That's
true.
He wasn't offering
for her.
No, he buried himself. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
Oh, without a doubt on her side. He's either a little bit or he's out. He's obviously not a bright guy, but I don't hide stuff from my wife. But if you found something like that, it's a fund that I'm looking to save money to buy something for her.
Right. That's the smartest answer.
Yeah.
Am I the only one with a slush fund?
Yeah. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on this morning?
I'm actually on his side because I have about $10,000 in a drawer my husband really doesn't know about.
See?
I'm saving to do construction in the house. And he's like, well, if you save... It was kind of like, oh, if you save the money, then we could do it.
If you were my wife, I would kiss you right then. I'd be like, you're the best. I had no idea. Ignorance is bliss. You did us a favor. Thank you.
He's going to be shocked. He's going to be shocked. And it's going to be like, here's the $10,000 we said we needed to save for this wall. And now the wall is coming down.
Great job.
Shocked is the right word, because if my husband found out that I did that, he would drop dead from a heart attack. That's for sure.
Well, that's different, though. That has to be about your spending and saving habits. Mm.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Luke, our audience agreed with you this morning. As long as you didn't do it thinking that you were going to hurt your wife and you're doing it just to have emergency money on the side, people thought that that was okay.
Well, I'm glad. I feel bad that I guess I didn't tell her about it. I just kept putting hundreds in there and it got big. So then it got to the point, well, let's see how much I could get it to. So now I feel bad.
Like, I mean, you sound like you have an addiction.
To saving money? I wish I had that addiction, too.
The more you talk.
My gosh. I think my husband would be thrilled if I had a new addiction to saving money.
Yeah. Annie, you going to be all right?
I just, what else is he hiding? I mean, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, maybe some of your listeners think that I'm overreacting, but it's upsetting. And I could totally buy if he said, oh, you know, this is an emergency fund for us just in case, you know, we need extra cash on hand. Because we don't have access to, you know, our bank accounts or our debit cards or whatever.
Like, zombie apocalypse.
Zombie apocalypse.
Right.
Whatever.
Let's just paraphrase. Make that short. Right.
Don't say, yeah, this is for like a fishing trip for me and my buddy. I mean, it just sounds really bad.
Yeah, it's a tough pill to swallow. I think you guys got a lot to talk about. But thanks for joining us. And if you have a problem too, send an email. couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
All right, Katie, it's your turn. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure. Good luck, Katie.
Okay.
Thank you.
Katie, we have $1,300 on the line. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring Raven back into the studio, and I'll ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
Okay. Number 1, Will Smith will release a memoir titled Will in November. What's the name of his wife Jada's Facebook talk show?
Red Table Talk.
Number 2, We Are Lady Parts is a newer sitcom about an all-female Muslim rock band on a mission to get a gig. It's on the streaming service that also has Everybody Loves Raymond Cheers and the new Punky Brewster. What is that?
Peacock.
Number three, Rick and Morty Season 5 debuted this weekend on the adult-oriented nighttime programming block on the Cartoon Network. What's that block called?
Oh my gosh, I don't know.
Number four, Steph Curry won't join Team USA at the Tokyo Olympics. He's not going. What NBA team does he play for? Time's up, Katie. It's all right. Number five, Pixar's new animated movie Luca was just released on Disney Plus. In what country is Luca set?
Greece? I don't know.
All right, let me bring Raven back in. They were tough today, Katie. All right, Katie got two out of five.
Two out of five, not too good. $1,300. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Will Smith will release a memoir titled Will in November.
Okay.
What's the name of his wife Jada's Facebook talk show?
Jada's show is Red Table Talk.
That is correct. Number two, We Are Lady Parts is a newer sitcom about an all-female Muslim rock band on a mission to get a gig.
Okay.
It's on the streaming service that also has Everybody Loves Raymond, Cheers, and the new Punky Brewster. What streaming service is that?
It's got to be Peacock if it's Cheers and Raymond.
Yes.
Yeah.
Number three, Rick and Morty Season 5 debuted this past weekend on the adult-oriented nighttime programming block on the Cartoon Network. What's that block called?
Adult Swim.
Yes.
Yeah.
Number four, Steph Curry won't join Team USA at the Tokyo Olympics. What NBA team does he currently play for?
Plays for the Golden State Warriors.
Yes. And number five, Pixar's new animated movie Luca was just released on Disney Plus. In what country is Luca set?
I'm going to take a shot and say Spain.
It is Italy. I'm sorry, Katie. He beat you 4-2 this morning. That does get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
This is Katie, and I can't beat Raven.
Thanks, Katie. Hold on the line.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl.